Welcome to the Flame Podcast, spreading truth like wildfire with your flamethrowers Anna Kane and Nicole Orozco on a mission to set the captives free. Now here they are, your hosts.
Hello everyone, welcome to episode number 26. We have a great show lined up for you today. For more information about the Flame Podcast and the Flame Paper, make sure to visit us at theflameusa.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the show at podomatic.com or download the Podomatic app so you won't miss a single episode. We always start our show with Watchmen on the Wall, where we cover the latest events and happenings. And as we've been talking about for a couple months now, the Reawaken Tour will be in Idaho this weekend. We're super excited. We're actually been loading up the car and loading up our stuff at the Flame to get there and be able to spread the paper around, get some truth going, meet some people. So we're super excited. If you are listening and you want to just pack up your car right here and now by the time you listen to this show, get your tickets. You can call 918-851-0102 or go to timetofreeamerica.com. Mention the Flame promo code. You can get 10%. We're super excited for the Reawaken Tour as well because our September edition is on the Reawaken Tour. Clay Clark is our front cover. We have Dr. Tenpenny, James Grundvig, Pam Bartha, Shram Hadium, and many more. So make sure that you guys are subscribing and getting papers out into your community.
They only had 42 tickets left.
Oh, did they? Well, like I said, by the time people are listening to this podcast, it'll be last minute. So get up and get going. Also, Judy Mikovits is coming this weekend to Snohomish. She will be at the House Church September 18th. And I believe that's Sunday, correct?
Yeah,
at
Sunday.
6 p.m.
Yep.
And so they do ask that you do go online to the House Church and reserve your spot. So if you are interested in meeting her and speaking to her, I do have to say we've been blessed to be in her presence a couple times. And she really does take the time with her audience and people to just answer questions, get into details. She is just, she's so brilliant. Sometimes she's hard to follow.
You got to like take one sentence and just dissect it.
Because she's just so smart. So yeah, unfortunately, I don't know if we'll make it to that, but I'm hoping so.
I'll be there. I'll be there.
Oh, hey, you're going to rush home, huh?
We're going to come back Sunday and shoot on over and then we'll be there. So we're going to be at the Reawakening, my wife and I. And I'll be it there and promote my book as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be fun. So also we have Project Parallel Communities that the Flame has been launching and working on. We are a not-for-profit private membership community. We are a 508c1a, and that means that we are a ministry that we can give back to the community. So we... with the state that our country is in, the Flame wants to help communities with solution-based projects. So when you subscribe, we are able to then take a portion of those proceeds and give it back into the community. So again, if you want to be informing people, make sure you're getting your subscription. And then that also allows us to get projects up and moving.
We give grants out.
Yes, projects, grants.
Well, no, that's how it works, like to get the projects.
All right, go for it.
Well, we gave a grant out.
We did give a grant out. On Tuesday, we gave our first grant out to Liberty Market. And that was actually, it was super exciting. You know, God shows up and he's just like, hey, this is where it's going and this is what's happening. And we're like, okay, already? Wait a minute. We're not up in our subscriptions yet to, you know, implement. But God's like, nope, I'm going to provide and you are there. So again, make sure that you can go to our website and look at Project Communities, see what's going on there. So make sure to go to theflameusa.com and look that info up. So happenings, it was an interesting couple days, huh? Q, is it real or is it a psyop? Donald Trump has been retruthing Q post. It has been interesting because he is openly doing this. What does it mean?
I don't know. I fell off the Q train back when the elections happened. I used to listen to X22. I still do once in a while, but I just was like, forget it. Like, that's how the flame was launched, because I was like, we the people can't wait for white hats to rescue us.
No.
And so we need to do
and
our own
haven't.
Thing. And they haven't. But with that being said, with the Queen's death and, you know, things happening behind the scenes and him actually, you know, doing the retruthing of some of this stuff makes me wonder what's going to happen next. And so it's interesting to watch. And I still think it could be some giant psyop, or it could be a good thing. I don't know. I'm praying for good, because we still have to do our own thing. That's the thing that people don't get.
Yep.
Is no matter if they turned around and saved everything and got rid of the shadow government, we've been corrupt for so long that we need to build our own systems.
Yes.
Like the Project Parallel communities.
Yep.
No
yep.
matter what. So we need to get the truth out. And then let's pretend that all of this came and we were rescued, da 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 da, and the white hats came, and you know, military took over, and then all.
Whoa,
of a
wait,
sudden,
we were rescued because military took over.
Oh, no, 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 stop, stop.
Wait,
we
check it
them.
Out.
Okay.
They took over to clean out the deep state, arrest
okay,
the bad
okay.
guys, arrest the bad guys, start a new money system backed by gold, all the stuff that's supposed to happen according to the plan. Well, anyway, pretend that did happen. What would the flame do? What would we talk about? Well, we'd talk about parallel economies and solutions and getting our constitution back and tactical civics and all the solution-based stuff. So don't hold your breath. But
the winds.
Yeah.
The winds. You know, that's just it, too, is all these scare tactics that come down. It's like, you know, if we're working together as community and we're getting some wins, then we can stand firm. Right. We have God. When we have each other in community, things happen. Last night, when I was at a meeting that we go to on Tuesdays, there were two people in the house that were talking about how they had gotten sick and how the group had come together and helped them. Mm-hmm. And it was just so neat to see, because it can be as simple as that if we yep. work together. And then we don't have to worry about what's happening. We can move forward in the positive and not consistently be trying to run down rabbit holes. Leave that to us, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, with that.
The Queen is dead.
Well, the Queen is dead.
But she's been dead, I hear. Oh, but they announced the dead.
I don't know about that.
But the Queen is dead. And you know what song rang through my mind? Is this awful? Because all these people are posting all this great stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but you have pedophile rings under your palace, you know? And so it was like, dun, dun, the Queen is dead. The Queen is dead. The Queen is dead. It was horrible.
Oh,
it was
that
running
is,
through
right.
my mind. I'm like, God, forgive me for this. You
right.
know?
And, you know, to be all honest, we do know that is it Prince Charles
and Andrew
and were definitely linked into Epstein.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And so the Queen is dead, but I mean, the royals are still moving up and they've all been together. So I don't know if we. There's a win here.
Well, and it's interesting. I listened to a couple guys on YouTube, or I watch, I should say, and they're right out of Britain, you know, and they don't give a flip about any of that stuff because they're on our wavelength and they're just out doing their life. And, you know, the fact is, you know, it isn't us. We're not a queen, so we don't have a queen. I don't really. She's just a human being. She's now facing God.
Yep. And that's what it comes down to, right? Life and death and whether we're going to heaven or hell. Our goal with the Flame Podcast is to make it a top performer within the political podcast category. And we need your help to do this. It's as simple as sharing the show with 10 of your friends, just 10 of your friends. Speaking of sharing, we have a great guest coming up. Mr. Pastor DJ. He is standing firm against the evil of our time and wants to make a positive impact in God's kingdom. God, I'm running for your heart.
Welcome to our Torchbearer segment, where we interview people who are carrying the torch of truth and making a positive difference in our world. This week, we have Dennis Raby, who we affectionately call, and so does the community, DJ. So Pastor DJ of the House Church is in Snohomish, Washington. And Pastor DJ and the House Church have been freedom fighters since the day they launched their fellowship. So DJ, as he's known, like I said, he has a lot of things to share about what it means to stand firm against the evils of our time and how to make a positive impact for God's kingdom. So welcome, Pastor DJ. How are you doing today?
I'm having the time of my life. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
Appreciate it. Yes. I'm so excited to have you on. And we know you, but can you give our audience a little bit of background on your church and your mission?
Well, our mission is to see people believe in the Lord Jesus, to belong to his church, and to become everything that God has created them to be. And so we launched out and continued the church that Jesus started. We didn't start a new church, but we decided to continue the church that he started in 07, started in the Snohomish Boys and Girls Club, and have been in a couple locations since then. And currently we are right off of Bickford Avenue in Snohomish. And we not only have a Sunday morning fellowship here, but we also have a Christian school that we started 12 years ago. And so, from children all the way up to the older saints. I mean, we're here to be a support and to see people just become everything that God has designed them to be. So yes, we have been outspoken. We will continue to be outspoken. We believe in what the Word of God says. We believe in the Constitution. We understand how those go together. And and we are continuing to stand in our freedom, and we're just not willing to give any of that up because we know from whom it came from. And so, we've been living a weird reality for the last 2.5 years, have we not?
We absolutely have. And, you know, it's amazing to watch your church and your leadership stand up against the tyranny that's been happening. How do you feel like COVID has changed your community and the church? And what are the, you know, hardships you've had to overcome in order to stand up for God's law and our Constitution?
Well, I mean, I think from the beginning, I don't think COVID changed much. I mean, that's a weird thing to say, but I think what it did is it revealed more so than anything. It revealed what was already present more than anything.
Yep.
So, so if people reacted out of fear or self-preservation, which I think those were the two main reactions that we saw regarding COVID. If somebody reacted that way, it just simply revealed where they already were.
Yes.
I don't think it changed them. I think it just caused who they were to be seen and revealed. And that's what was really shocking is to see so many of my peers, you know, people that are pastoring, people that are leading Christian schools, completely cave to the corruption, all the corruption that is connected to this thing we call COVID. But
Scam-demic.
I think that the real issue was the fear. Everything goes back to fear. Everything goes back to a lie. And so, I was just shocked with the lack of discernment amongst the community of spiritual leaders, you know, leaders in the church and leaders that are getting up in front of people every week and been giving them spiritual advice, but they clearly weren't listening to God, and they clearly weren't discerning what he had to say, because they were part of it. They were part of perpetuating the greatest lie of our lifetime, the most pernicious lie of our lifetime, whether it was, you know, we're going to shut our church down, whether it's we're going to issue masks, or whether we're going to promote vaccines, or whether it's we're going to take money. We're going to profit off of this most pernicious lie, and we're going to take money from the government to sustain our ministries,
or take a vacation
that God said he would provide for. I mean, you see, it's just so this was the big shocker. And you know, I probably shouldn't have been surprised, but I was.
I was surprised.
So I think the change now is, you know, the people we're seeing finally wake up, and whether they really, really believe what they say they believe now, I think will be dictated and determined when the next thing comes, because we all know there's a next thing coming.
Yep.
And so, anyway, but I'm having the time of my life. I didn't lose anything with regards to COVID, except for, you know, my personal family, my father and my mother, those sides of the family. You know, my brother, my family, they rejected us for a time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that time has passed. And now we're getting together again after 2.5 years later, you know, and it seems that stuff is in the past, but we'll see. Again, we got to see what happens next.
Well, I feel like even now, you know, a lot of relationships are damaged. So I feel like sometimes when we draw lines, and we read that in the Bible, right? That mm-hmm. we will have to make a decision whether we follow God or the world. And I think that thought process really never resonates, that we will literally have to choose between family members. And once those relationships become damaged, it's almost easier to fall back. You know, like if they can disown you for 2.5 years and then relationships can get fixed, how easy is it for them to disown again?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, my son disowned me. Yeah, so the pain is real in that, you know, the pain is real. And it's really going to be, it's a prayer of being like Jesus to God, just heal his mind, bind his mind to the mind of Christ, please, you know, and the pain of losing, I mean, because this is your family, and it's hard to just stay, it's not hard, but it's to just stick with what you know, and God is what we know, and I have to turn them over every day, the people I've lost, and say, God, take them, they're yours, you love them more than I do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, prior to that, though, you know, the Lord comforted me. I'm sure he did with many others with his word, in that, you know, I had read this time and time again out of Matthew 10:36 says, you know, a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Mm-hmm. I mean, come from within his own household. And when I read that during, you know, the last 2.5 years or last 2 years or whatever, you know, I was like, man, I've read that before, but it never resonated more real than the last 2.5 years, because I literally faced that.
Well, and what's crazy too is to think that we're coming to a time where I think when people were making the decisions to disown family members or not spend time with them or whatever, I think that now we're in a place where the truth is coming out and they're like, wait a minute. 6 feet was just kind of made up. What are you talking about? So now they're having to reevaluate themselves. Like, am I really just going to watch mainstream media and listen to my government tell me what to do over loving my family?
Mm-hmm. I know. Well, you would have thought, though, that they would have responded correctly back then. But But when you have your reliance on the government mm-hmm. rather than God, when you see your governor as a higher authority than you do God, well, you mm-hmm. do crazy things, you know. And so from the beginning, whether it was my family or you know, the church family as a whole, right?
Yep.
We've seen enemies come from within our own household, our household, and our church household mm-hmm. as well. I mean, yep. I literally was criticized deeply. I mean, never really thought that it would happen from my own family, but I certainly didn't think that it would happen from within the church family or the church community as a whole, you know, mm-hmm. In our city and in our county. It was a great thing to to see where everybody was, because I thought that God is the greatest authority, and I never thought that those that claim to speak on His behalf would think that the governor of our state or the health department or whatever would be the greater authority than what, you know, than God and what God's word said. So, you know, so that was the big thing. It was seeing those that you expect to rely on God, not rely on God, and then make excuses or try to spin it mm-hmm. and make everybody think that they are relying on God. That was just crazy. So in our family, you know, we got family members that are doubling down now. Many of them are doubling down because they don't want, you know, they don't want to believe that what they've fallen for the last 2.5 years was true, right? And so, you got that in the church too, where, you know, you got churches, you know, not wanting anybody to know that they too, you know, not took the vaccine, but maybe took the government funding. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I still think we need to wait for the next thing to find out who is who. And so that's why in this meantime, we're going to find out who's really prepared and who really isn't prepared. So we need to trust God more than ever, right? Rely on God more than ever. But at the same time, I think wisdom says we need to start building alternative systems. And so that's what we've been doing for quite a while now. But it starts with, having a biblical worldview. I think what we found, the response that we saw in the church, is proof that many did not have a biblical worldview. If you're quick to say the governor has more authority than God, then you don't have a biblical worldview. It's that simple. And if you're going to take, you know, if you're going to take handouts from the government rather than trust God to be your provider, then you're not. God's not first. No matter what you say, God's not first.
So, DJ, so, let's back up a little. You had a Jesus is essential sign on your church, and I know that you had some backlash because you stayed open. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, so what happened is, you remember in the beginning, everybody was talking about we're all in this together, right? And
propaganda.
Yeah, of course. But the propaganda was, permeated through households, church households, you know, I mean, so, and it just wasn't true. It never was true. So I think I wasn't alone in the beginning where you started to hear all the stuff, right? And on the inside, you just thought, okay, something's not right. Something's mm-hmm. not right. I don't know what it is, but something's not right. But everybody was covering the something's not right up with, well, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. And I just got so sick and tired of hearing that because it wasn't true. We clearly weren't in this together because I had people calling, emailing. I would have pastors just come into the church like so ticked off at me. And I finally, you know, I just, I just began to hit my knees and pray a lot more, and really enjoy my solitude with the Lord, because I didn't have really many people to talk to back then. And I was just making myself available, number one, to the Lord, number two, to people that were really trying to deal with this and frame this in. And so in that, I remember asking the Lord, is there anything that we pastors can still agree on? Because this whole we're in this together, we're all in this together, is not true. It's not true. And so out of that prayer meeting came those three words, Jesus is essential. And immediately I was made aware that this wasn't going to be like some tagline or some slogan, or it needs to be a banner or a rally cry. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of took the banner thing literally, and I went across the business park where our church is and talked to my buddy that does all of our signage for the church and the school. And I walked him over here and we looked at the building and I said, how big of a banner could we put on this building? I want it to say Jesus is essential, and I want it to just be black and white. And so we decided on a dimension, and in short order, it went up. And I'm telling you, from the time it went up, we would have people drive down here and take pictures underneath it. I mean, it literally did resonate with so many other people.
Yes.
And while everybody was shut down, everybody was just complying, we had cars coming regularly into our business park just simply to take pictures or come in and want to talk to somebody. And so, yeah, it was kind of our first public display. And then we would have pastors come in and, you know, that wanted to know if we were getting fined or, you know, whatever. And so we encouraged a lot of pastors to just stay open and, you know, just were encouragement to him, to them. And because, you know, let's be honest, if we remember back then, there wasn't many people to talk to about what was real as there is now, right?
Mm-hmm. You know,
I just think,
go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, when I was like you, when I woke up, I said, this is not right. And I had already been in tune with, thanks to a lot of people I watch online, who we had all been watching and said, this is bogus. They're pulling it off now. And I called up my closest buddies in the area, and every one of them to a T said, no, we're not going with this thing. And so I had a group of guys and gals that I got to fellowship with the whole entire time, and none of my family and I stopped doing anything. And we're here in Linwood, and I didn't even know about you until much, much, much later. But yeah, DJ, when you're in that thing, though, you're kind of like going, there's nobody around.
That's by design, right? Because the problem is that we did not know our rights, and we did not know what we were capable of doing or not doing, because of emergency powers, because of mandates, because of law, because of this, because of that, whether our sheriff would support us, not support us. It was just so confusing. So it was, and that is the problem. Is, you know, I love that you have a school, and I hope that, you know, in your high school, middle school and high school level, that you guys are teaching the Constitution and teaching what our rights are, because if we knew our rights better, this would have never happened.
Oh, yeah. 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 Most definitely. Most definitely. If it was all, you know, it was framed in as a health issue, and, you know, don't get me wrong, people got sick but, you know,
we get sick all the time.
99% got better, right? So people have been getting sick all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, it was framed in as a health issue. Well, in the beginning, very early, you know, I realized, wait, this is not a health issue as much as it is as an issue of authority.
Yep.
And so, you know, those that were talking about spiritual authority, those that were talking about God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind prior, you know, to everything shutting down and everybody handing out masks with their church logo on them. You know, they must not have really believed that.
No, they didn't.
You know, and so because you believe what you do. You know,
yes.
That's
so
true.
We're to be doers of the word, not hearers only, or preachers only, not parrots only, you know. So I can get up there every Sunday morning and preach the word, but, you know, and then I can live contrary, you know, in my personal life to what I preach every Sunday. But if you followed me around, I'd be the same guy 7 days a week. And
you know, you talk about being a doer, and you talked about parallel economies. And I know we haven't got to have a meeting yet. I'm hoping when we get back from the Reawaken Tour, as leaders in the community, we can get together, because we are launching Project Parallel Communities in order to be able to fund those things. And I know that the House Church, you guys have a church. You guys just bought farmland, correct?
We're in the process of that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean,
we're leasing farmland now, but yeah, we're in the process of purchasing it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're kind of ahead of the curve. And we had Pam Popper on a couple weeks ago in Sharam Hadium, you know, and they're doing things in Tennessee, and they're kind of ahead of us as well. And so at The Flame, we were just sitting here like, we need to be like more in action, because you're right. It's about being a doer and not being able to be manipulated by fear, because in our communities we're fine. And so what is something that you feel like has been working or needs to be done better in order to be a doer?
Well, I mean, I think it goes back to if we would just be honest and just admit that there is a great conditioning going on. You know, people are talking about the great reset, the great awakening, the great this, the great that, the re this, the re that. listen, we are all being conditioned, and we're either being conditioned for good or evil. But we also got to understand there's a controlled opposition on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So. There are people that are doing good,
amen,
but they're doing good for the sake of evil.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's a controlled opposition on each side. So, you know, the most important thing is to hear from God. And there's a lot of people saying that they're hearing from God, but they're doing things that aren't scriptural. You know, they're saying things that aren't scriptural. They're not doing things that they should do. They are doing things that they shouldn't do. They're jumping to this, jumping to that, reacting to this, reacting to that. And I think, you know, we need to go back to God's word, number one. I mean, the Bible says the sum of God's word is truth, and every one of his righteous ordinances is everlasting. So, and we need to be patient. You know, we need to be content. I don't jump at every news story.
Amen.
You know, I don't invite anybody that is popular into our church. I'm not a photo op guy. You know, it's just, we've got to be patient, you know, not trying to promote ourselves all the time, but just trying to set up systems in which we can provide for one another.
Yeah.
This is not a time to, I guess, promote, so to speak. This is time to provide and to trust in the provision that God has already provided for us. So we don't have all the answers. You know, we have a lot of ideas. Last year we started a Wednesday night. We recognized that not having a biblical worldview was the problem, because there's no way that the church that we read about in the book of Acts would have done anything similar to what we saw the church do.
That's right.
In America. So, and around the world for that matter. So we realize, okay, this is a biblical, this, the problem, the overall problem is a lack of a biblical worldview. Well, you don't have a biblical worldview because of a couple reasons. Number one, you're not reading the Word of God. And if you're not reading it, you don't value it. And so we try to do our best to just kind of, okay, what is the core issue here? Okay. And then we started Wednesday night talking about biblical worldview. What does a biblical worldview look like? Okay. And so a lot of, and as COVID progressed and all that happened, you know, we started to get some ideas about how to counter the culture within the church, right? And like, for instance, many people think that Christian education is the alternative to public school.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's a huge problem. So if one believes that Christian education is the alternative to public school or government education, what they by default are saying is that government school is the standard.
Right.
You see, so this is the problem. If you're an expecting mother or an expecting father, right, and you say, I'm going to be a father soon. I'm going to be a mother soon. Okay. No, you are a mother. Mm-hmm. You are a father. Unless right. you don't believe, because you've been saying that life begins in conception, at conception. Mm-hmm. You believe that you've been saying that's a human being inside of there. So then what do you really believe? And so we just started getting together and saying, guys, what do we really believe? Because And action and implementation is going to prove that which we believe, not just, oh, I have an idea, oh, I have an idea, oh, I have an idea. Mm-hmm. So that was something that we did that was very, very, very successful.
Isn't it amazing
truthful.
How much words matter at this point? Like, we mm-hmm. we talk about how words matter, but just like you were saying, like, I'm going to be a mother or I'm going to be a father. Like, no, you are. And I know, Prager, you, when Roe v. Wade was coming down and there were things, you know, being talked about, he's like, has anyone ever walked up to a pregnant woman and said, how's your body?
Mm-hmm.
Never, mm-hmm. never.
Can
like,
I tell
words
you-
matter.
Yeah, can I tell you this? So we've been out on, you know, the streets of, around Planned Parenthood for years, right? And so we have a team that goes out there every other day, and then we do a church service once a month on Saturday mornings, or we'll mix it up because we've got massive opposition with pro-aborts. But we, and maybe you know about this because I have announced this a couple of times, but we recently were able to get our first baby save. And so in January, we're going to have, our church is going to have the biggest baby shower that's ever been in this town for this dear lady who changed her mind. She went in there to murder her baby, and because of our team was there and presenting her another option and presenting you know, that we care and that we're willing to follow through and all that. So
I want to be there. I want to be there.
That's amazing.
That's the biggest thing before COVID. I used to, it was a big deal in my heart and in my mind. I would dream about it every night. God laid a burden about abortion. So I would go to the clinics. I volunteered at the, you know, at the pregnancy resource centers. And it's a big deal, and I would love to be a part of that. In fact, on your Wednesday nights, are you going to start those up again?
Yeah, we're going to start those back up on the 28th, Wednesday the 28th of this month. And then the theme is going to change a little bit, where previously the theme was, you know, Worldview Wednesdays. We're still going to call them Worldview Wednesdays, but we're going to change the theme a little bit to be more specific about, you know, God being our source. This is something that people say. They say that they believe, but their daily life doesn't prove that out. And so we're gonna really ask the tough questions. What does it mean to live as if God is really our source? And then in connection with that, we do understand, like I said, alternative systems. So, you know, we've shared a lot of great ideas, but now it's time to implement the God ideas, because I don't, you know, we're there's a lot of good ideas, but not necessarily God ideas. So we want to, and so we're going to get people together with communication and prepping and medical and all that, and just actually start doing stuff. So, and so it's going to be a great time. We'll see what the Lord does with it. Because, you know, tomorrow's not promised to anyone.
Nope, and, it sure isn't.
And so, I can go out at any point, at any time. And so we're going to prepare people for real, persecution. But in the same way, we've got to prepare people to hear God's voice, right? And just having another service doesn't do it. Doesn't do it.
No, it doesn't. You know, those parallel communities.
We got to learn how to serve one another. So
yeah.
Our focus is going to be not having as many services as we possibly can. It's going to be we need to learn to serve one another better, not to have better services or more services. We need to get back to the book of Acts in this way.
That's so funny that you talk about that, because me and Steve were talking about this probably, 3 weeks ago, how we just, I mean, even just going to a restaurant or, you know, anywhere you go there, the service is gone. It's everybody's about me.
Yeah.
What are you going to do for me? And nobody wants to serve anymore. And that's the problem is God created us to be in service of each other, and people just don't want to do it anymore. And so you're right. It's not about having more services. It's about serving each other better. And so
yeah.
I think parallel communities is, you know, definitely the answer to that. Do you think that any of our problems can be solved politically, or do you believe that we're just out of that territory?
That's a great, great question. I think locally, yes. You know, it depends on what you think politically means, right? Because let's just be honest, you got probably still 95%+ of evangelical pastors in any given community, in any given state, that still are hesitant to talk about politics from the pulpulpit.
How about 98 or 99%?
So sad.
Is that what it is? Yeah. So where does the great conditioning happen? The great conditioning happens in our schools.
Yep.
And so you have 95%+. Actually, you have, let's see, in this state, I think it was 4.8. So we had a 4.8% movement of the needle out of government schools into some other, what they would call alternative, which is revealing of where they're at to begin with. But you only had a 4.8% movement of the needle out of government schools in our state. And I think we were the top 3 or 4 in the nation. So this is not a revival, ladies and gentlemen. This is this still just reveals that, you know, 0.2% of evangelical pastors still are willfully allowing their children to be taught and raised in government schools.
And you're seeing that, DJ, you're seeing that, right? Because it is willfully. You know, my kids are still in public school because they've been on waiting lists. There's not space for them to go elsewhere. When you say willingly, that is absolutely the truth. We have church buildings that are sitting empty all week long.
Church buildings empty.
I know. And
nothing is happening, yet they have, I know for a fact, if a pastor showed up at your church and was like, Pastor DJ, how is this school running? Can I come and sit with you for the week and watch how this is happening? Like, and so I can get my own thing up and running, you know, up in Marysville or Everett or like, absolutely. Like, we need these spaces.
Not only that.
Yeah. So we're looking at perhaps, I don't know when we're going to be able to launch it, but it's kind of like a hybrid. It's more of like a co-op type thing, because during the day we only have so many seats. But at night, the seats are open. So what we're looking at doing is building a team, training a team of homeschool families. And again, this only applies to the family dynamics that this works within. But if you're going to homeschool anyway, okay, first of all, homeschooling doesn't mean that you are providing a Christian education for your family. That's just something that has been assumed. So you can decide to homeschool, but the next decision is, are you going to use a Christian curriculum or just, you know, any other curriculum?
Right.
So we're looking at providing a place using our learning centers that we already use during the day, open them up in the evening, so that homeschooled parents using our curriculum, we'll help train them, we'll help, you know, do the admin, we'll help grade, we'll help bring accountability, we'll help allow them to be a part of our sports, allow them to be part of our chapels, allow them to be part of our enrichment courses, whether it be archery or dance or performing arts or, you know, piano or whatever. So we're looking at that. We just want to make sure we're doing everything that we can do with what God has given us to listen, really, to eliminate people's excuses.
Well, you're a model for the community that way.
But the reason why there's not more options is because of the mindset. Mm-hmm. I mean, how in the world do you complain, and then when September comes around, you comply? And I'm just saying the spiritual leaders need to take some responsibility for this, mm-hmm. because the reason is this: if I preached on Sunday morning, everything that the kids are being taught during school Monday through Friday, I hope people would leave this church. Okay, but that's the reality of the situation. And so what we want to see is a child in the home, in the school, and in their church all being pointed in the same direction with
Amen.
Regards to education.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And we're ending the near, you know, kind of nearing the end of our time. So as we wrap it up, how can people do that? Just finish up that thought and tell us more. Tell people
where they
could find out about this and you.
Well, I mean, simply put, you just need to make a decision. Okay. You don't know how it's all going to work out. Okay. Here's what I've found in over 25 years of ministry. The why we oftentimes know. Mm-hmm. I know why I'm pastoring. I know why God led us to start a Christian school. I know why. I know the why. You don't oftentimes know all the what, but the what seems to be next. And the how it's going to get done, that seems to be where we all get tripped up. So mm-hmm. what I would encourage people to do is just focus on the why. Decide what you're going to do. Make a decision. And then trust God. Rely on God for the how. Don't allow the how to lead. Because I'll tell you what, in 2007, I would have never been able to tell you how God has led us to this point. So
God keeps saying prayer makes perfect to me. So
yeah, and reach out to people that are doing it. And, you know, and just, you know, learn from them, get good godly counsel. You know, and we all have limited amount of time, limited amount of resources. But I think if we realize, hey, we are our most valuable resources, it's mm-hmm. people. We need to go back, whether it's in the marketplace, we need to buying from people. Yeah. You know, Shane and Kim, a couple that have been coming to the church. You know, I think you know them, right? They started the Freedom Market.
Yep.
Right. So we need to support them. Yeah. Right.
I mean, we did. We actually just gave them a grant last week from the Flame.
Oh, good. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So yeah, we're just outside of that. We're not confused. We're real simple people. We're just going to continue to do what God's called us to do. We know what that is. We don't always know how He wants us to do what He's called us to do. But again, it's just go back to listening, be obedient, mm-hmm. speak the truth, live the truth, and encourage people to follow the Lord.
Yeah, you're
whether it's one at a time or what. And so I'm excited for this weekend. I'm not
Hollywood.
Take pictures. And, you know, I'm not that guy. But I was looking at this roster and I'm thinking, okay, Charlie Kirk, Sheriff Mack, Seth Ketchel, yeah. Ty Bollinger, J.C., Chris Anhall, Arthur Pulowski, Greg Locke, Judy Mikovits.
They've all been to your church.
Yeah, a lot of them. They've all been
there. And I just said, you know, I don't know. I just like, you know what? I think it's about time I just show up. And it's so close. It's so close now. You know, I'm a man of eliminating excuses. And I just figure, okay, I don't have any excuse not to go to this anymore. So,
well, we'll see you there. And we're excited. What is your website? And how can people stay in touch with you?
The church website is The House, M as in Mary, C as in Charlie.com. The House, MC.com stands for the House Ministry Center. And obviously you can Google us and find us too if people don't remember that website. And then our school is lcasnohomish.com, and we've got a lot of other things that we're doing. But
thank you.
I appreciate you.
DJ, for coming on with us, and God bless you. And we look forward to staying in touch. We're excited.
We'll do. Let us know what we can do to continue to get the message out for you guys as well, right?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
All right. God bless you guys.
The Flame Podcast ranks the top 5 of all news political shows on Podomatic. It was launched as a way to provide a balanced look at what is taking place around us and offer solutions to the challenges we face as freedom-loving people without the biases found in traditional media platforms. As part of our strategy to expand our reach, we need financial support in the way of businesses who see value in advertising their company to our audience of well-informed, freedom-loving people. If this description fits you, then we invite you to contact us at theflameusa.com. In addition to the Flame Podcast, we also offer opportunities to advertise with our sister media platform, The Flame Paper, fastest growing freedom publication in the known world, filled with must-read articles by freedom fighter concerned citizens. If this is you, contact us at theflameusa.com and we'll put together a package that best suits your advertising needs and budget.
This is the part of our show we call our weekly word of encouragement, where we take a few minutes to reflect back and share what God has been doing in our lives. But before we share with you, I want to remind everyone to make sure to subscribe to The Flame Paper at theflameusa.com. Click the subscribe button. Make sure to do this to get the word out and also to help fund Project Parallel Communities. So our scripture for the week is John 4:6. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Nicole, what has God been teaching you this week?
Exactly what we just talked about. I think it is about discernment, as Steve talks about, and about who hears us, knows the spirit of truth. That's that divide we were talking about, yeah, within families, within communities. And by us hearing God, I feel like he's transitioning us into the next level. We will always get the truth out with the flame. And even the transition, I think, after the election, we'll go into solution-based articles, you know, as
and we... And sometimes opinions, yeah.
Yeah, well, it'll be the same, but I think that this time in history is about leaving the system. It's about leaving the system, and we have to be able to stand together to just not comply, because with what's coming down the pike is
there's
not,
always going to be something coming down the pike.
There's always going to be, and we need to disengage from that and think of our own communities and our own solutions. So.
How frustrating is that, though? Like, as you're talking, because normally I'm, you know, so one side of the fence, the other side of the fence, and in parallel communities, but like, how frustrating that we have a constitution that protects us from government, and yet in some ways we're stuck and we just have to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
How frustrating.
Yeah, it is frustrating. But in the same way, we're giving it our last shot with the midterms on our paper and hoping for some to buy us some time, because it's a Band-Aid. The thing's rotten to the core. It's like a house of dry rot. You can't repair it. You have to start from the foundation, which is the Bible.
Yes.
And which is the Constitution.
Yep.
The spotlight this week has been an old friend called me. Hello there. I won't say your name, but hi there if you're listening. And she said, Nick, I'm awake. And I said, you're awake? And she said, yeah, I just found out about Epstein, and I found out about this list, and oh my goodness, and I'm just right at the beginning stages of awakening, and somebody said I should call you. Okay, buckle up, Buttercup. Buckle up, Buttercup.
How far down this rabbit hole you want to go?
I can bring you down the rabbit hole.
I've got friends that are, every time I meet them, they're saying, Steve, I was just watching this, and now I'm really questioning this, and I'm like, okay, you're on that pathway. Because in my book, Discernment, Breaking the Deception Code, True Seeker's Guide to Discernment, I talk about that, levels of awareness. And there's 12 stages of awareness. And most people get to level 3, which is, oh, I'm being faced with something I've never heard of before or thought about before, and I have a choice. Do I go and explore that further, or do I deny it? And a lot of people just say, if I go down that route, that road, that means I might have to give up a lot of my former beliefs and my former way of life, and that's too difficult. So that's what DJ was talking about. When faced with a crisis, so many pastors crumbled because, oh my gosh, what would happen if I blah, 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 and they didn't want to deal with the pressure. So they believed the lie, they went along with a lie, and they promoted a lie.
And justified the lie.
And they justified the lie. And I talk about that in there. And what you're saying is your friend called up out of nowhere and said, and you're like, okay, God's touched you, and you know, he's touched you, and here we go. So
and here we go. So
yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy because I was just thinking about how, you know, pastors have fallen into the world, and they've been of the world, though. I mean, they haven't been talking politics on, you know, on the pulpit, and they've now gotten their licenses and all of their things based on the government. Like, they think they have to follow these rules. Like I said, like, these rules were put in place that weren't really rules, but they felt like they had to follow them.
And they followed culture instead of culture following them.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, it was an amazing show today. Thank you all for listening.
Amazing.
It was amazing. It was so amazing.
Amazing.
We're definitely so excited.
So that, excited.
That's kind of an inside joke.
So excited.
I was just telling Nicole, she's always so excited. So anyway, we do want to thank Pastor DJ for coming and sharing with us about what he's doing at his church. He is amazing. Hopefully other pastors will follow along. So as always, we do need your financial support. So if you feel like donating to The Flame, please go to theflameusa.com. And as we like to say, I'm Anna Kane.
I'm Nicole Orozco.
And I'm Steve the Johan, the producer. Reminding you to keep your tinder dry, your torch lit, as together, with God's help, we're spreading the wildfire.